Well, welcome back to the Church Tech 101 podcast. This is episode 6, and it's called Grab Your Ear Trumpets. Let's talk about that. To me, the evolution of the hearing aid is kind of a strange thing. I mean, it really did start with people holding kind of a reverse trumpet-like device with the small end in their ear and the large end out to help focus sound and so they could actually hear what was going on. And from there, it kind of graduated to wearable ear trumpets, which were small brass things that wrapped around your ear, kind of like a modern hearing aid, except they were entirely passive. But today, everything is electronic. And so today we're going to talk about hearing assistants. I feel like maybe 5 people have asked me about this recently. And so, of course, I thought, well, this would be a good podcast episode. So hearing assistants really kind of was mandated for public spaces when the Americans with Disabilities Act was passed in 1990. And ADA compliance, you know, religious entities are exempt from ADA compliance. So technically, you don't have to provide hearing assistance unless perhaps you are in California or Texas, in which case the state building code trumps the federal requirement or exemption in this case. But I would submit to you that it is worth your investment because the message that you are preaching is important, the most important message, and for people to be able to hear, understand, and learn, grow from your services, that's important. And so some of the questions that I get about hearing assistants, what kind of hearing assistants should we be using? And there are a lot of types. So we'll just go through the types and we'll kind of talk about some of the pros and cons of each type. Some of them are really popular and some of them just are kind of odd or not that common. So the first one is called audio induction or hearing loop. Now, it used to be very standard that hearing aids were made with something called a telecoil, which is basically like a little radio antenna that's built into the hearing aid. And then there are hearing loop systems where there's basically a big loop antenna in your auditorium. And then the hearing aid just automatically picks up the sound that you're sending it. Well, that's all good and well if you already have such a system. But if you need to install one, the loop part of it needs to be installed under your carpet or in your floor. It can't be installed above. And so really to make that work, if you have an existing auditorium, you're going to have to tear up all your carpet. And most churches, that is just kind of a non-starter. It's a very expensive proposition. And the sound isn't great. I mean, it's maybe like an AM radio, but, you know, it is focused on the speech range. And that's kind of the whole point of it, is so that people can hear the speech range. Now, audio induction or hearing loop is really popular in Europe. And I remember when we were in Europe, you would see it even at little kiosks or whatever. There would be a loop where you could stand in the loop, and then the person would have a microphone, and then they could talk to you that way. One of the more common ones that I see is the FM system. And the Federal Communications Agency has put aside certain frequencies that are just dedicated for hearing assistance. There's a range of frequencies, and all those systems work in that frequency range. And the nice thing about the FM system is that really it's pretty easy to use. The user just puts on a pair of headphones and turns on the little receiver and they're good to go. It's kind of like an old school transistor radio sort of thing. A lot of the systems just have like a single knob to turn them on and off. They're pretty uncomplicated, which is great, especially if you're working with elderly folks. And you can encourage them to bring their own headphones. There's nothing more disgusting to me, I'm sorry, than church-provided earbuds with hearing assistance. And I know that there are some churches that use a hard plastic earbud, and then they, you know, they carefully sanitize them all the time and that kind of thing. But I'm not a fan of that idea. People can bring their own headphones, or you can provide headphones, but even over the ear headphones are a lot easier to keep clean, and that'll work for the FM system. There's another system called the infrared. Sennheiser was really pushing this a couple of years ago, and I have really not seen it since. It's kind of gone out of style, but there are still some of them around, I think. And really, there's just an infrared panel that hangs above the congregation, and there's light that shines out from the infrared panel. And then the receiver on the top of the special headphones picks up the audio signal via light. And I don't know if they still make that one, but it was really popular for a while. But I'm not a big fan of that either, because all it takes is for somebody to have their headset not positioned properly and things will drop out. And it can also be interfered with by fluorescent lighting, which a lot of churches still have. So that's kind of the downside of that one. Finally, there's something called the Bluetooth system. Now, don't be confused. It's not transmitting sound via Bluetooth. I have a lot of people get confused about Bluetooth because Bluetooth is a secure one-to-one connection. You can't broadcast Bluetooth. You'd have to have a separate transmitter for every single person who was using Bluetooth. And that would get complicated real quick. But what this does is it hooks up to the Wi-Fi, and then the person hooks up their phone to the Wi-Fi, opens an app, and then they can stream from their phone to their hearing aids. Because a lot of new hearing aids have Bluetooth enabled. And they even sometimes have their own app on the phone that helps them use their phone as an additional hearing device, or lets them listen to audio on the phone from video clips or phone calls or all that kind of thing using their hearing aids. And so right now, my church, we're running both the FM and the Wi-Fi/Bluetooth system. And we have probably more people on the FM, but we do have several faithful Wi-Fi users. Now, the Wi-Fi, you say, well, what if my seniors don't have, Bluetooth-enabled hearing aids? Well, the Wi-Fi system does have the advantage that you could log in, let's say, a tablet or an inexpensive or older cell phone that's been turned off, and then just plug earbuds into it. Or headphones, and use it that way. And quite frankly, that's how we check it to make sure everything is functioning on it, is that we plug it in. We just tap in with our own phone on the app and then listen to the feed and make sure everything is working properly. Now, I'm touching on something that's actually quite important, and that is you need to have one of your sound people, maybe once a month or something, at least, use one of the hearing assistance receivers so they can hear what's going on. What is the person using this actually hearing? Because it's really easy to sort of just set it and forget it. And then it'll have problems. And sometimes older folks, they just feel like they don't want to complain about something that's not working. And sort of out of a politeness or, I don't know, other reasons. So it's good for you to check up on the hearing assistant pretty often to make sure it's working properly. Now, one of the things that I do recommend for hearing assistants is that you put some sort of a limiting device that maximizes how much audio will come into it. Especially if the quiet and the loud parts of the signal coming into your hearing assistants are wildly different. If you get an enthusiastic evangelist who's really cranking up the volume, you don't want that to be a hugely different volume from what they were just listening to. Otherwise, they're always having to mess with the volume on the hearing assistants to get it just right. And so having some sort of a compressor, limiter, or leveler in some capacity will help keep that signal steady, and it won't be such a problem. The other big no-no for hearing assistants is to pipe your microphones for congregational singing from the live stream into that feed. That feed needs to be 100% dry audio with no reverb, no additional echo or room mics in it, because that will help your person focus on the service. Really, what we're trying to do is isolate the user from the actual auditorium as much as possible. And the reason for that is that as we age, it becomes harder for us to pick out individual sounds in a busy room. And this also works in an echoey auditorium or situation where there are multiple people around them singing or whatever. It becomes hard for them to focus on what they should focus on. And their brain just doesn't do that as quickly and readily as it used to. One of the other problems that people with hearing impairment face is that they've lost a certain amount of high frequency hearing. So as you age, you will start to lose a lot of the upper frequency range. And it varies by person. For me, well, let's start with, you know, like teenagers can hear all the way up to 20,000 hertz, which is the high end that is the accepted top of the human hearing range. But as you age, you'll start to lose that. So I am now in my early 40s. I can hear, I'm gone at high ranges at about 12,000 hertz. I can't hear anything between 12 and 20. And that's not unusual. It's not abnormal. Older folks might, you know, be as low as 6,000. And so what happens is if those high frequencies aren't there or they're reduced, it makes it harder for them to hear. They hear all the lower frequencies and sound gets really muddy for them, but they can't hear the fricatives and plosives like p-t-s, and all that stuff gets lost. And putting hearing assistance headphones on someone will help them hear that. So that is a great way to do that. I hope that's been helpful. It's maybe kind of a boring subject, but, you know, for older folks, it really is important for them to be able to hear what's going on in the auditorium, especially if your space is kind of reverberant or maybe extra loud. It's important for them to hear what's going on. And it's not just always older folks who have problems with this. We tend to just sort of lump them in there, but all kinds of people can have issues with hearing clearly. And so by providing a nice dry feed from, you know, pastor's microphone during the sermon, they're going to be able to hear and participate in the service a lot more effectively. So don't just kind of put it off as, oh, well, that's expensive and it doesn't matter. What you might find is a lot of times older folks love their church enough that they'll be willing to fund something like a hearing assistance system if it means that they can use it every week and it helps them participate in the service. I remember there are some things that, quite frankly, you can't really deal with. And I was in a church in Colorado, and we had, you know, it had a nice hearing, they had a very good hearing assistance system, and we upgraded their sound system. And so pastor was talking to an older lady in the back, and he said, well, why aren't you using the hearing assistance? And she said to him, those headphones mess up my hair. I mean, there's nothing I can do about that. That's 100% outside my realm of technical expertise. But you'll find that a lot of older folks are happy to use some sort of device to help them hear the service and participate in it. So my urging to you is consider a good hearing assistance system as an investment in your older congregation. And I think you will find that it is worth it if it's installed properly. Anyway, that's it for today. I hope that was a helpful episode for you, and we'll see you again on the next episode.